For me personally, to stand before God's children, God's elect, I don't take it for granted. And it's an honor and a privilege. It truly is an honor and a privilege to serve God's children. I'm not saying just because it becomes a mic. No, no. There are several other ways and there are several other things we do outside of this. But we have service to God's children. You see, as long as you do anything, anything to the least of my children, you have done it unto me. He said, when I was in the hospital, did you visit me? When I was here, did you do this? When I was here, did you? He said, when were you there? Will you know? He said, as long as you've gone. So whatever you do to anybody, whether you think it's your spouse, a brother, a sister, young or old, is as unto the Lord. Let's take care. Let's bear that in mind. Sometimes we take each other for granted. Praise the Lord. This, in preparing for my discussion this morning, I had a totally different subject in mind. But on waiting and saying, Lord, what do I do? Where do I go from here? I was there to switch my topic. On account of the fact that over the last 3-4 sermons or weeks, there's been one commonality. I remember Pastor Francis, Pastor Yato previously, Brother Bolu, talking about hearing the voice of the Lord. It is important in this age to be in the center of God's will. Amen? So I'm just going to wrap it up and cap it up in that same light. The subject of my discussion is carried on from the book of Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitude. The Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10. Now I want you to bear in mind yes, it's on the Beatitudes, but principally I'm honing in on one subject, two-way communication with the Lord. When we go in prayer, a lot of times we pray different kind of prayers. I'm not going to work out prayers and stuff. I'm just talking about two-way prayer. Communicating and praying and getting an answer. How many people would like to pray? If I talk to Emmanuel here, Pastor Emmanuel, okay? If I ask him a question, if he goes mute and looks at me, how does it make me feel? What in Nigeria they talk about rendition. You don't know what it's radio, just talking. Just talking. I know he doesn't reply me. If I spoke to Chris, ask him a question, he doesn't answer me. How does it make you feel? God wants to talk to us on a one-on-one basis. The subject of my discussion, which is basically like the part two of what I preached May 12th, is personal communication with the Holy Spirit. You ask a question and wait and get the answer. Amen. You say, why, Lord? And chill and let him talk to you. Amen. We're going to look at this. So, basically, that's it. Everything I'm saying, just here in the back of your mind, is two-way communication. You asking the Lord stuff and he replying. Amen. Do you think that's important today? Talk to me, somebody. Yeah. Oh, come on. Is that important today? Yeah. It's very important. Or somebody say, dear man, say, Lord, what do we do about this? And he talked. He desires to talk to us. Praise ye the Lord. Matthew chapter 5. Again, my topic is two-way communication with the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Amen? When you read that, say, theirs is the kingdom of God. First and foremost, what comes to your mind? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What are you thinking about in the by and by? Anybody thinking those concepts? It's in the by and by that, I've got to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. Is that true? Talk to me, somebody. I want it to be. Talk to me.
Is that true? We think it's in the by and by. No, it's that and more. Praise the Lord. It's that and more. Because truly you are going to prepare a place for us. A kingdom that rules among you. But beyond that, the kingdom of God is within you. Can somebody say amen? You have the kingdom of God in the form of the Holy Spirit. The earnest expectation. He's put it in you. And that Holy Spirit wants to talk to you. If you listen. A lot of us, unfortunately, we get home, the first thing we do is walk up to the television. We flip on the television. You don't have time to think, to meditate. You don't make the time to meditate. Or you take on the Facebook and your Facebook. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm talking to us. It may not be you, but I'm talking to us. Amen. I'm not saying don't listen to television or get the news and all that stuff. But brother, if we chill, he wants to talk to us. And he cannot talk to us over so much noise. How many can say amen? Now it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Like I said, the kingdom of God is within. Now, this kingdom that is within us, there are certain ways God wants to talk to us. And a few things stand in our way. Being poor is not talking about financial poverty. It's being poor, knowing that, look, I need him. I need him. I need him. You are poor. One thing that hinders him talking to us in this, if we are not poor in spirit, something called pride. We're egocentric, we go egotistical. And it comes in very subtle ways. It's a thought. Amen? A thought. You say, oh man, I can't believe what Emmanuel could say that. I could say, can you imagine? What? Peter doesn't spend enough time in prayer like I do. What is that? It's pride. What's very insidious. It's so silent. Oh, you say, wow, why doesn't you know this place understand? God wants us to be poor in spirit, knowing that we need him. And let's not be egocentric. Why this person? Why isn't this person? If you are to ask those questions, God will tell you, he said, you know what? You probably got much on your plate to deal with. Why don't you face your situation? Amen? So don't compare yourself with nobody. Amen? When the issues that I face, in which I want an answer to many of the issues you face, I would never want to compare ourselves with those. Amen? Because we are all individuals before God. And we want to talk. So this very silent, egocentric personality that's inside of us. Because you are thinking, man, that brother, that sister, wow, she can pray. I wish I could. Or why isn't this person doing this? You face him because he's your Lord. You don't compare yourself with nobody. Amen. It's like saying, blessed are the humble, for they shall inherit the kingdom. Humility plays a great role in this. The Bible said, God is in Matthew and 1 Peter chapter 5, I say, God resists the proud. Amen? Resist the proud. How many? I don't want God to resist me. I have that place put up, I think it's Proverbs 21:4, please. He said, the proud and the lofty, he knows them are far off. So don't you have the spirit within you? It's so far away because of pride. And it's not because you are doing this. That's all I'm talking about. It's internal. May God help us. I'm saying it's internal. The thought process of the mind. Praise you, the Lord. The next one. Say, I'm high, look at a proud heart. It's sin.
The Psalms say it's an abomination. God hates it. So let's watch. Put a guard over your heart so that there's no pride in it. Let's remain humble inside. You could be successful. Don't get proud about it. Don't get arrogant about it. Don't flaunt it around. And don't compare yourself to nobody. Praise the Lord. Second one. So I've just tied this down to all these 8 beatitudes. What is the topic of discussion? Two-way communication. You know, all of us know everything beforehand that has been said concerning the leading of the Spirit. If you are not in the Word, if you don't know what the Word says about something, you've missed the market for something. And if you refuse to obey what the Word says, if I refuse to obey what the Word says, I've lost the privilege of hearing me talk to me on a daily basis. When the pastor tells us, he says, let us practice his presence. You understand what I'm saying? Practice his presence. How do you practice his presence? This is what I'm talking about. You may lock yourself. There's a song we sing. Say, I love to shut in with God. Shut in with God in a secret place. There is spirit. Behold in his face. Gaining new power to run in the race. Praise the Lord. The second one where it says, blessed are they that mourn. For they shall be comforted. You mean this second beatitude, inherent in it, it looks like there's something to be learned. There's something to be gained when we even go through challenges, when we go through hurts, when we lose loved ones and stuff like that. God wants to and is talking to us. What does that mean? What do I mean? You see, when you have been through a situation somebody's going through, you are able to comfort them in the same manner to the degree the comfort has comforted you in your situation. Praise the Lord. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've never been sick. You've lived a healthy life. I remember Pastor Elder giving us a testimony some time ago. You know, when he went through all the situation, went through his health, his empathy, his love for the afflicted, he went sky high. Am I correct, Pastor? Not that he didn't have it. Or if you go through an immigration situation and your life was on hold and somebody is going through that, I tell you what, you could speak to them and guarantee them, say, as long as the Lord liveth, you're going to pass through this. You're passing through on the other side, you're going to be this. Can you say amen? If you've lost a job, if you are mourning, because the Lord, through the comfort of the Holy Spirit, has comforted you with the comfort that only He could. Amen? So they're able to speak. And the Lord is able to speak to you too in that comfort. And you can say, it's all right. She's gone. But I know she's in a better place. Amen? You say, well, how is this person able to handle such a thing? Because of the comfort of the Holy Spirit in them. Because the Lord has talked to them. It's important. Let me just digress with you. It's important. Sometimes a lot of us who have been in the Lord for a little while, you know, those of us that are young like myself, we're just rookies. You know, well, those of us have been in love for a little while, sometimes we use the word, we sometimes say, God told me. For me, that I'm a young rookie, it's like, wow. You mean you saw him and he came and had a chat with you? Sometimes a young believer is construed that as pride. Right? I wish I had that experience. So sometimes when we talk to one another, let's be careful. Let us weigh what we say. Not that the Lord didn't talk to you, that's not the issue. But we are able to read and teach one another how to hear from the Holy Spirit. Can someone say amen? Praise the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. He says,
we are able to comfort. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's it. We comfort who comforted us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort we are with them. We ourselves have been comforted of God. Praise the Lord. Now, negative thoughts and personality hinder our spiritual growth and hinder us from hearing from the Holy Spirit. I tell you what, talk to anybody here who has ever tried to witness or tried to preach. If you have a misunderstanding with your spouse, how is it for you to preach? Those of us who have the microphone. Can somebody answer me? Is it easy? Can you? It's hard. It's very hard. Nobody's talking to me. Looks like I'm forgetting my time. Amen. Even just get up. You know what? We need to pick ourselves up. Husbands, pick your wife up. Wife, pick your husband up. If they're making an attempt to follow the path of righteousness, man, be an encouragement. Be an encouragement to everybody. The single ladies, the single men, be an encourager. Amen. The scientists say that negative thoughts are destructive to brain cells and brain tissue. Did you know that? They say they produce chemicals in the that are damaging, that poisons the cell. Somebody described this as, look, these negative thoughts that hamper us are able to communicate within it builds like a resistance. There's no flow of electricity. Amen? So it's very important that we clear the way so there's no negativity and nothing in there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it's important we have a positive mental attitude. Even in mourning and all the negative things that happen to us. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good in us, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on this thing. So you may mourn, but think on these things. Next verse. He says, think on these things. And what am I talking about? It's communication with the Holy Spirit. So he can talk to you from his word. Praise ye the Lord. In verse 13, I think it's... Go to verse 13, please. Strengthen yourself in this. I can do all things through Christ. You want to hear from him? Yes, he wants to talk to you. He really does want to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. Sometimes there is answers you hear from him may not be what you want to hear. Because we all have sometimes preconceived notions. You see, as far as east is from the west, his thoughts are far from our hearts. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. The next beatitude. You see, when God comforts us, okay, we become more productive. Amen? Amen? Because you can literally have a ministry from the mystery that you went through. Amen? You see someone who lost a husband or a wife becomes a widow. Now she has an empathy for widows or widowers or what have you, and she goes ahead. I mean, that reminds me of one of my ghost sisters who lost her husband. You know, now she's in huge ministry in Africa, taking care of orphan kids and stuff like that. She has a ministry. So God is able to give you a ministry out of your ministry. Amen? Hallelujah. So you become more productive for the kingdom. Hallelujah. The third one, I'm trying to run through this. The third one. This is the one that really, the Lord says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
It kind of, when I read that scripture, I say, what has inheriting? I don't want to inherit this. I don't want to inherit Phoenix. Seriously, I'm just talking as a man. I want to be in heaven. But what is the Lord saying here? How many of you thought, oh my God, am I the Lord? You guys are so into it. You are so right. You've got I cross and T dotted, or T cross and I dotted. I'm doing all things in this math. I'm telling you the truth. That's what I thought. I didn't understand it. I said, well, my sister is over hand there. I said, what was when he said, in here is I? I don't want to hear the F. You mean meek? But let's get what he's saying. I went to check out the definition of meek. Anytime we see the word, we see meek and humble together. To me, meek and humble seems to be synonymous. Am I correct, Pastor Julius? It looks like it's synonymous, but there's more to meek than humble. See, in the Jewish culture, and if you can look at the, I think it's the American Heritage Dictionary, the meek relates, they have horses. In those days, what was the mode of transportation? Horses. Say they had, someone had 1,000 chariots and this and that. The mode of transportation was horses. If you have ever watched a horse show, you see the horse doing, I've not gone to the horse, but I've seen, how many of us have seen horse shows on TV? Right? You see the horses doing different things. You see, drop this way, turn that way, give the bow and this. You say, how did the horse know to do this thing? You don't see the horse trainer talking to the horse. They talk in terms of when you ask that horse trainer, he says, the horse has been meeked. It's a meeked horse. It has been disciplined. I said, oh. That's what he's talking about. It's discipline. It's endurance. It's in those concepts. He's saying, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What he's talking about is, if you don't give up on your hopes, desires, aspirations, if you are disciplined, you suffer hardship as a good soldier of the cross, you receive your heart's desire on this earth. The purpose for which God has sent you to this earth, you will fulfill your destiny. Can somebody say amen? You will inherit that which is rightfully yours. You will walk and reap the fruit of your labor. You will build house and inhabit it. You will not work and put your money into a bag of holes. You are inheriting your blessings on the earth. Can somebody hear me? Because while you have been meek, you have been disciplined. That's the concept. Beyond being humble and all that is what he's talking about. In Hebrews, he says, Jesus is a rewarder of them that work diligently seeking. He calls for diligence. He calls for not giving up at the slightest challenge, provocation, somebody annoys you, cuts in front of you, and then you are ready to open your mouth and give them the piece of your tongue. Is somebody with me? Hallelujah. Am I talking to me and myself or talking to somebody? Because you represent the kingdom that rules over all kingdoms. We can't do everything the world does. We can't. I can't. I wish I could sometimes. I wish I could give somebody a piece of my tongue. I'm serious. I can't. It's like I got a dish in my mouth. How many is in there? No, come on, talk to me, Father. How many is in there? But you know, the love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ constrains us. Praise you, the Lord. Now, one great... See, when the Lord now begins to... Your meek and Lord begins to talk to you. He begins to nudge you. You ask a question and he gives you ideas that he drops in there. Okay? Sometimes self-will and procrastination are enemies along the path. Don't procrastinate. Don't reject it. Because after when it nudges you and it nudges you and it nudges you to do this, it nudges you to do that, and don't do it. Don't do it. Then you may come up with a correction. It corrects you standing. Say, why is this correcting you? Because he loves us. Amen? Because he loves us. He said, a son that the father loved, he chastens him. He chastens him. He wants to talk to us. What am I talking about? Two-way communication. You and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Said the next one. Say, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be. Earlier today we were talking about pursuing the right thing. What's righteousness? Just doing the right thing. Somebody slaps you. What do you say we should do? Slap them back, huh? No. Somebody uses a verbal lashing of the tongue at you. What do you say we should do? Give it back to him? No. The Lord cannot talk to me. He cannot talk to me if that is the response we give. He said, pray for your enemies and them that despitefully use you. Is somebody with me? This is the truth. This is the gospel according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? What are we talking about? Two-way communication. Because when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, doing the right thing, what does it promise us? We shall be filled. The hopes, desires of the expect of the righteous will not be cut short. You will be filled. There's no question about it. If you are made, if you are disciplined, you endure hardship for the cross of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you'll be filled. You develop a treasure house full of God's wealth. And it could be even physical. Filling up the house. I mean, I remember I read a few, you know, autobiographies and stuff like that. I remember reading an autobiography of this man, R.L. Turner. He, before he became public, none of us knew him. I didn't know him. It's like 1988 to about 1969. The guy, before he became popular, or known in those days, we don't know him now, more time than ever. But before that, his biography said that he gave out 90% of his income. 90%. He's a businessman. Self-taught, self-educated. Didn't go to conventional school and study and I. But guess what? I mean, things were so bad for him. He was a subcontractor for the Hoover Dam. He almost went bankrupt because in building the Hoover Dam, he ran into a hard rock that he didn't envisage him when he gave the contract, when he was given the contract. And almost went bankrupt. But he went ahead and fulfilled his obligation. Through that, and trusting the Lord, what happened? God nudged him and moved him. Right? Some partnership. Today, every moving equipment, all these caterpillars and everything, he was the one. Decades ahead of his time, designing those things and manufacturing those things. More time in on here. He has a university
like put together Latino University in, I think, somewhere in Texas. Private Christian University. In that university, they pray, go to chapel 3 days a week. I said, wow. So you can be a Christian. God filled this man's house. Filled it. Because he sought after righteousness. He didn't compromise his faith. Because everybody was doing this, everybody was doing that. Praise ye the Lord. And what am I talking about? Communicating and God answering back and leading us. Praise the Lord. Ah. God doesn't want us to be arrogant. At all. To know God, we need to know ourselves. It takes diligence. It takes diligence to know oneself and one's word. We should not be apathetic. We have to ignore apathy, obey the nudges of God, and take risks in action. If the action you take is an error, we search our souls. Find out the motives. What are the motives for what you're doing? Little glorify God. Do you have an ulterior negative reason for what you're doing or what I'm doing? Our motives lead to him. Can someone see me? I'm talking about the Lord talking about to you. Hallelujah. We should not be indifferent or apathetic. Our indifference to God's nudging and apathy destroy our sensitivity to God. It's part of what we were talking about earlier. It hinders our longing for righteousness and God. And it's an enemy to two-way communication. It's an enemy to two-way prayer. We want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Praise you, Lord. The fifth one, merciful. Say, blessed are the merciful. Say what? They shall obtain mercy. They shall obtain mercy. Mercy rejoices over judgment. A lot of times people hurt you. People hurt you. As human beings, what do you want to do? You want to retaliate. The Lord says, then. Don't take on God's job. How many of us want to take on God's job? Let me see your answer. Do God's job. Nobody? Huh? I saw my sister. You want to take on God's job? Nobody wants to take on God's job. Let him do his job. Don't be the judge. Don't be the jury. Put it in his hands. When we sow in mercy, I will just not reap it. How many people saw put a seed of orange on the ground and reap one orange on a tree? Never happens. So there's the mercy. There's the mercy. See, mercy and forgiveness, the title. You cannot be merciful if you're not forgiven. Is that true? So we have to. It's one of the principal foundations of our Christian faith. Look, how do you know you are having mercy on someone? How do you know you are forgiving somebody? Have you run into people who things that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the subject comes up, whoo, they go wild. They go berserk. It has not been resolved. It's still in their memory bank. So when the issue comes up, God wants us to forgive and move on. Just move on. Why? So it does not hinder God's ability to communicate with us. Is somebody with me? Is somebody with me? Mercy and forgiveness have what I call a fraternal twin. And that is called
grace and kindness. Mercy and forgiveness, how it attaches to it, is called grace and kindness. When you're forgiving somebody, you extend the arm of grace and be kind to them. Amen? It's hard. If you experienced it, Brother Stephen experienced it, Jesus, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. There was one time somebody offended me. Man! But I started praying for this associate. And you know, what happens? I had it. It is the Holy Spirit that gives that ability. And God envelopes you with compassion. How many has been there? He envelopes you with compassion, and you begin to feel and empathize with people. The Holy Spirit is able to talk to you and talk to you when you have mercy. Praise you, Lord. I want us to isolate where the resentment is, where the issues are. Bring it to the cross, bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ, and let him wash it. Wash it. Pray. And he'll take care of it. Even if the person is long gone, the 1,000 years, long gone, long distance and stuff like that. You know, praise the Lord. Say, blessed are you, pure in heart. Say, out of the heart, that's the sixth one. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Listen to somebody speak. I can tell who they are. I'm not saying in church. I'm not really saying in church. Because when you're in church and I'm in church, everybody's dressed sharp. Everybody calls the teacher and does their hair. That's what I'm talking about. It's outside of church. In your bedroom. At your workplace. Who are you? What do you say to your spouse? What do you say to those that approach you? God is able to talk to us from our heart. It gives us nudges to forgive. Let us have a pure heart. See, every character trait that we have is a reflection of who we are. Have you heard somebody say, you know what? Oh man, when I grow up, I don't want to be like my dad. Have you heard that? Or I don't want to be like my mother-in-law. I don't want to be like my father-in-law. Have you heard stuff like that? You know what happens? What invariably happens is this. They become like that person. You know why? Because that is what they see. That is what they are looking at. That's what you fear most. You become. Job said that's what I feared most has taken a hold of it. In so many words. This is what God wants us to do. You see, in every one of us, I said in every one of us, he has put a lot of good traits, even the worst of the worst. What he wants us to do is focus on the good in her, on the good in him, and magnify it. Amen? And you are gradually changed into light, not by magnifying the negative that our person does. Is somebody with me? Because invariably, I guarantee you, that thing which you are focusing on. Paul said in Galatians 3, he said, little children, in whom I travail, unto whom Christ. He didn't say, or the devil be formed in you. So those things that are, so to speak, satanic, those things that are not awesome, in him, in me, don't focus on it. That's what he was saying in Philippians. Let me look for the things that concern my brother, his host, lift Jesus up. Those things, and let me do and gradually, we are changed. I'm changed to the image of God and his son. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. But unfortunately, a lot of times, this is a mistake we all make. Let us magnify the God that is in that person. Amen. Let me magnify the God that's in Sister Kate, in Sister Moyo,
And Sister Brother Paul, Sister Ruby, let me see that good aspect of what they are doing. Let me focus on it. You know, I made a statement some time ago to what we're talking about. God calls our paths to cross in life. I'm asking myself, God, what are you teaching me through my diaspora? What are you teaching me through my mind? Is there something I need to learn? He's talking to us.
Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. See, our Christianity grows and thrives in a mind free of critical attitudes towards ourselves and others. When you have a pure mind, you don't have an ulterior motive. People of a pure mind are single-minded. Their words are kind, gentle. Even their judgment of others. When Jesus, every time he rebukes us, every time the Lord rebukes us, there is a lifting up. Amen? I said every time he rebukes us, we don't feel like dirt. But what do? As believers, you rebuke somebody, the person feels like going to commit suicide. That this is it. But God wants us that we can talk. One thing about pure-minded people, there are some spontaneity about them. Joyful, spontaneously joyful. Amen? I mean, you may not see them in church all the time. It doesn't matter. Amen? Praise the Lord. Blessed are the peacemakers. For you shall be called what? The sons of God. Number 7. Peacemakers. God wants us to be peacemakers. Between friends, bridge builders. Where there's troubled waters, let's be the bridge across these troubled waters. Amen. Don't let's add gasoline. It hinders the ability of God from to ask and it comes back to you. It hinders it. Why? It's one of the attributes of the solution.
If you want to ask me from the moon for the manifestation of the sons of God, he commands us to make peace. Amen? He commands us to make peace.
With our fellow men, with ourselves, and of course, with God. In Matthew chapter 18, 15 to 17, he gives us antidote. When you have it with your brother, you have a call with your brother. He said, go talk to your brother. Matthew 18, 15 to 17, he gives us recipe on how to resolve, make peace. If he doesn't listen to you, he says what? Take another brother. Quietly. If he doesn't listen to you then, get to go to church. That's it. If we go and take the microphone first and go and tell the whole world, that's what God commands us to do. You want that person to be able to lift his head up. Amen? That will God have to do. This is how we have shown mercy, we have shown peace. He has not been dead. What's came for me? God talking to us, it's not like he picks up a microphone and over the TV and boom. Here and there. And as we obey them, as we move in the direction of what he's saying to us, he gives you a passport. I tell you. And eventually, the whole picture comes together. So, wow! Lord, this is what you are all about. But if we do not obey those little nudges and promptings that he's telling us, we go back, take 2 steps forward, take 5 back. That will not be my portion, that will not be your portion. Jesus, praise ye the Lord. Finally, say, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. A lot of times, which is true, in this concept, okay, we read that as to though it refers to those who are going through persecution in other countries. Am I correct? Is that the way I have read it?
It's true. It includes that.
But as it relates to God talking to us, the word persecuted, defined in the American Heritage Dictionary. I'm not saying all that's not true. It talks about to pursue after righteousness. In other words, it's talking beyond just the persecution, but enduring, standing firm, standing strong. So it says, so we can look at that scripture and say, blessed are you when you endure, when you endure walking in the path of righteousness. For yours is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom within you comes to expand you, begins to become more, because you endure. You fall today, but you get up. You fall today, but you get up. And stay pressing on along the path of righteousness. For why? Just in the final analysis, what you are seeking, in talking to you back and forth, you will hear him if you endure and if you do not. Can somebody say amen? Can somebody say amen? Praise be the Lord. Praise be the Lord. As we try to round up, and the time is fast spent, I want to thank God for having preserved each and every one of us. Amen?
Yeah.
These several years, several months, this is, the year is going to an end, but by his mercy and his grace, he is and still preserving us. And we will walk along this path of righteousness. You want to, I want to hear his voice. Amen? We want to hear his voice so that he can lead us. There's nothing more beautiful for us to say, wow, hitherto the Lord has led me. I know without a doubt. This, because there's a purpose, there's a reason he sent you here. He sent me here. Darkness will not fall upon your light in Jesus' name. I say, darkness will not fall upon the light. You will grow brighter and brighter on the perfect day in the name of Jesus. As I round up, I'd like to tell every one of us, please stand up. The Lord. It's in our heart. My dear sister, Lucy, pray and anoint one another for now and when day is coming. I like to sing this song. It's a song you sing in the old times. It says, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and lift it up, Lord, and make me whole. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
How many of us know that song? Hallelujah. My wife, all the old timers, praise the Lord. So I'm going to ask if the Pastor Emmanuel Junior, the pastor, please, I'll leave this unlocked. I'll take the Lord anoint. I want us to just go in the audience, pray and anoint everybody according to the meaning of the Spirit. The Lord told my sister that we should anoint ourselves. And we have to obey his command. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
In my cup, Lord. I lift it up, and quench its thirst in my soul. Bread of want no more.
Please anoint her for
me. Fill my heart with love and make me whole. Fill my heart with I need it all, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my heart, I lift it up. My soul.
bread of heaven, it makes it I want no more. If my heart I lift it up and make it whole, Jesus, we pray with the aid of God. Come and quench this thirst in our souls, Lord. Precious heaven, heal me till I want no more. Jesus, and make me whole. Give my heart, Lord Jesus, and lift it up for me. Come and quench this thirst in my soul. Bread of heaven, heal me till I want.
Use words on our children, that's not right. If you have a child next to you, just hold his hand. And now that child represents all our children that we have made pronouncements. Maybe you mistakenly call your child stupid. Maybe you mistakenly call your child, you're no good for nothing. I want those children to begin to turn around and begin to pray for their parents. I said, let those kids begin to turn around and pray for their parents. And God will have mercy on the parents in the name of Jesus. You may not have said anything, but use it as a point of contact. For every child, every parent that has said something, that's all right. Because Jesus, can you imagine? The Bible said the words that we speak, their speech and their life. If they go forth to accomplish that which he said, suppose the child becomes an idiot right in front of you. Suppose the child becomes a nothing right in front of you. I want the children to pray for the parents.
I forgive you, mommy and daddy, for anything you said that was not right according to the word. Say thank you, Jesus, for forgiving my parents. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord said in the end of the week, you meet the heart. Children of the fathers, and half of the fathers of the children, and we shall be one in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
yes.
And everybody said,
yes.
I said, and everybody said,
yes.
Say, go and sin no more. Hallelujah!
Yes.
You know, God has no grandchildren. Amen?
Yes.
He has no grandchildren. As far as the eyes will see, we are all his children. And let us be light. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this sweet hour of prayer, for these confessions, errors of omission and commissions,
If sometimes it's between husbands and wives, spouses, and all that stuff,
we pray you forgive us, have mercy upon us.
What we have said errors, things we have said that we ought not to say. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you forgive us. In the name of Jesus. With you, Lord, there's hope. With you, there's forgiveness. With you, there's mercy. But with man, like David said, I'd rather fall in the hands of the Lord because with him is mercy. I want to fall in the hands of God's hand, not in man's hand. So we thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Blessed be your name, O Lord. It shall be all the honor. It shall be all the glory. Your name is blessed forevermore. And everybody said,
amen.
And everybody said,
amen.
Praise ye the Lord.